You guys stand with us. We're going to go ahead and get right into praise and worship. Come on, clap with us this morning.
Shout it.
Get into this next song, I just want to take a moment to just focus our attention on the reason we're here. Hallelujah. God, we came for a touch from you this morning, Father. We didn't come because it's a routine. God, we came to break away from the mundane routines of this world, God, and we came to meet with you this morning. Each and every family here, each and every person here needs a touch from you, God. We need a word from you. And so, God, I ask that your spirit would begin to move in this room right now, God, and that you would begin to stir in the hearts of each and every person, God. You know the situation. You know the circumstance, God. You know the trial. And it's not our job to know, God, but it is our job to lay it at your feet, Father. And so we do this morning. We lay everything at your feet. We give ourselves completely to you, Father. Have your way.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great you are.
Sing it out this morning, how great.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great you are.
The heavens are telling, telling the earth how great you are. And we are responding to your love. The oceans are rising, rising and falling at your word. And we are responding to your love.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great. You are. My God, how great you are. How great, how great you are.
Tell him, my God, yes, you're great.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great you are.
last time, my God.
My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. an army rising up. Yes, there is. There's an army rising up. Whoa. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain.
Our chains have been broken. And we thank you, Father, for doing that with us, Jesus. Some of us here, Father, might have some chains to be broken. But, Father, we do believe in you. We have faith in you, Jesus. Father, we also want to use your church, this church, and all the church in the nation, in the world, Father, to help others, Jesus, to break their chains, Jesus. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, Father. Father, use this church, Jesus, we ask in your name, Father. Father, help us, help others, Father, who might be in anguish today, Father. Here and around the world, Father Jesus. Use your church, Jesus. In your precious name we pray, Father Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. God is good all the time. We are so glad to have you here. If you're here for the first time, we are so glad that you're here with us. Make sure that you address one of us, you talk to one of us so we can, can say hello. You have a card in front of you that says we want to connect with you. If you're here for the first time, you know, you mind putting your name and number, and we will contact you to follow up with that. But this is a great day. How many of you felt it this morning? You know what I'm talking about, right? I've heard next week it's going to snow, so. Well, if you're in South Florida, we know that next week might be hot again. So enjoy while you can, right? We have, we just had a song that, the breaking the chains, and that this is what our church is all about. Pastor Robbie and Pastor Sydney and all the other pastors and staff, you know, their vision is to spread the word, and we have a lot of activities going out this month. Actually, next month. This month is almost over. Well, not yet. We still have a couple of days left over, and we have a lot of things, packed house of things to do here. So I just want to go through some announcements pretty quick here. First, we have next Wednesday. How many of you know what's happening next Wednesday? We have a great opportunity to be out here in the parking lot and minister to the kids and their families. And this is going to be an awesome time. We're still looking for volunteers. If you have any questions, you can reach out to Pastor. We have a sign-up sheets in the front. We can use it in any capacity. We will find a work for you to do. I'm going to do the candy cotton machine, I think. Right, Pastor? That's my favorite. But 1 year, we had 400 kids come through our activity. And as a result of that, we had some families here. So this is a great opportunity not to celebrate Halloween, but to celebrate Jesus and use us to help others to break their chains, right? Continuing on, we have this month by Tuesday, if you, the women who are participating in the Faith Binding Workshop, there's a sign up also there. Make sure that you reach out to Siobhan. There's a $5 fee for that, and I believe the last day for that is Tuesday or Wednesday. If you don't have $5, let Pastor know. He'll pay for you. I do have money. I can help you out. But this is a great opportunity for you women to get together and do some craft and, using the Word of God also. So, and also, if you notice, we have a list out there for we're selling pumpkin rolls. And this is to kind of raise funds for continuing to build up our children's ministry. How many of you believe that children's ministry is our most important ministry here? Amen. Amen. So let's continue to support that. Also, on Sunday, November the 4th, there's going to be an informative meeting about our Christmas program. It's going to be called Christmas Worship Experience. And Pastor Mitch and a couple of the guys will be kind of providing some information about what the program is going to look like. It's going to be towards the end of of December. And if you're interested in participating, this is not just singers. You know, I've heard there's other roles in there. So just come in, get informed, and if you want to participate on it. And we also have, in November, we have a food drive. And I was corrected in the first meeting. We're going to have some bags starting next week. And it's going to have a list of items that you can take a bag and go through the list, get the supplies in there, and bring the bag the next time around. We just want to bless some families, needed families during the Thanksgiving season. And also in November, we have the Thanksgiving Family Night of Joy. It's going to be on a Tuesday, November 20th. It's going to be an old church activity. So, and I guess we're going to eat that night, correct? So There's going to be some activities. There's a guest speaker coming up, and Pastor will probably provide more details as we go along. But this is a good opportunity for us to fellowship together and to eat together, I guess, you know. So reserve some space for that night. Anyway, so I think I've gone through all the announcements. We're so glad to see you guys here today, and enjoy the Florida fall. Pastor?
Thank you, Lewis. Good morning. November the 20th is a Thanksgiving celebration is what we're doing. I'm going to tell you. Because I have a comedian coming that night, a Christian comedian. Super funny, super fun. We're going to set up tables all across this place. We want you to be here and let's celebrate what God's done in our life. Amen. It's okay to have a smile on your face every once in a while and to be thankful, to be joyful. So we're inviting all services, all family, invite somebody. We're going to set up tables all out here. We think we may even have to go out on the patio. And the guy's super funny. It's just going to be a fun time. We're going to do all the turkeys here, and we're going to have a list of all that good stuff that you make, right? How many of you make good stuff? How many of you were told you made good stuff? We'll decide about that for you. But anyway, listen, we want you to be here. Invite a friend, a family member. November the 20th, that's a Tuesday night. There will not be a Wednesday night service. That's going to be our Wednesday night service, so we're going to have just a time of family celebration together for Thanksgiving, right? Amen. God bless you. Let's take up the offering this morning. Ushers, if you would come on down, we'd appreciate it. I would just tell you to be faithful this morning. Thank you for all that you do here, all your giving, your faithfulness. It does not go unnoticed, and we thank you and appreciate it so much. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over this time together that you would bless this offering this morning. God, that you would help us to be generous givers. Help us to obey the word, God, and just be people that pay our tithes here. In Jesus' name, everybody said, God bless you. How's your vision this morning? Pretty good? Those of you that wear glasses say, that's pretty good right now. We're going to talk about vision this morning. And I had told you guys before that we were going to separate a special time to share vision for the church, but I'm actually going to kind of do it this morning in the message because I want everybody to hear it. Whether or not you ever get on board with the vision of the church is one thing, but one of the things I'm going to say is you got to have a vision for your life. You have got to have a vision for your life. And for those of you who've lived long enough and been through enough, you know that your vision will change. Some of that, literally, if you live long enough, your vision changes. But sometimes our visions change according to the season that we're in. Amen? You know, how many of you have ever been in a tough financial season? If you haven't, you come get the mic and tell us how not to go into it, and we'll appreciate that. But, I mean, we all go through these seasons, and when you're in a tough financial season, your vision changes, doesn't it? I mean, your vision changes. You may not do what you normally would do, or you may have to work an extra whatever, or if you fall on physical problems, your vision changes. How many of you had children? More than your vision changed, I'm just saying, but definitely your vision changed then because life was not all about you anymore. Now you have a family to raise and kids, and so our vision changes, but the vision for the church overall wouldn't change. Now, some of our vision changes, too, along the seasons of the church. And right now, I would say we're in a huge vision change for the church. Why? Because we're in a different season. I've been here over 6 months now. And, you know, a lot of times when a pastor would come in, man, they'd want the vision sermon the first week. And I would say, don't ever take it the first week. I didn't even know where the bathroom was around here just yet too much, not let alone where God was taking us. And you have to learn some things. You have to learn a little bit about the people, the facilities, you know, what's going on in this community. And you kind of have to, it takes time to get there. And I'm just giving you a early vision right now at 6 months. You hear what I'm saying? Because, you know, 2 years from now, it's going to be different. We should have grown some in 2 years. You should be different in 2 years. There's people that don't give now that hopefully in 2 years they'll give, and that'll change the way we look at some things around here. It's an ongoing process. It's a forever-changing, life-giving, a living organism, the church. Two sides, the living, active side of the church. It's the ministries, the spiritual side. And then there's the organizational side, which is run like a business. It's just a nonprofit. It's how the government sees it. There is a business side to the church. If you don't believe that, let me help you. You're off. And so we have to be very careful how we manage and use what God's given us. Amen? And so Proverbs 29:18, we're going to start there today. And I'm going to talk about your life, and I'm going to talk about this church life, and I'm going to talk about where I see things right now and where I see things going real quickly here and how you can get involved. How many of you don't want to be involved? I'm going to close my eyes. I don't want to know that. The reality is people come into church, and there's people sitting here today, and I never would judge people or get mad about it, but people can only go so far. I understand that. I mean, you know, there's so many different phases of life, and if you have a ton of kids and work full-time, man, you don't have a lot of time. You just don't. But there are areas that I see right now that we have got to start doing. We're going to have to step out and start doing it if we're ever going to get Life Point Church to the place where God wants it. Who's with me? You should be concerned. Your part of your personal vision should be your church. It should be. It should be the health and well-being of your church. And it should be more than just us coming, eating bread on Sunday morning, if you will, and paying tithe. It should be more than that. Amen? And I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to make it more than that. Let's talk about vision for a moment. Where there is no vision, what does perish mean? Die. It means die. And I'm not going to go into a bunch of statistics this morning, but there is a staggering statistic about the church in America. It's not growing. It's really not. It's dying. I mean, it's stagnant. It's like here. It's like right here. What they're saying is for the number of churches that close every year, we open the same amount. So now instead of the church growing in America, it has become flat. So the same amount are opening as are closing, which means no growth, right? But where there is no vision, people, if there was no vision to this church, guess who would die? You would. Let me tell you why. Because the way we're doing things now, and I'm not going to say there's anything wrong, we're just in a new season. It's time to do some things differently. It's time to offer more things. The thing is, if we kept doing things the way we're doing them right now and nothing changed, eventually we would die out. Do you understand that? Eventually we would die out. If it was just Sunday morning, you come eat, walk out of here, eventually we would die. If we didn't offer anything for kids and children, guess what? The youngest person in the room, give them the key to lock the door on the way out. Because when they get through, that's when the church dies. If there's nothing for young people. And one of the very first things that my wife and I determined when we came here was we have got to make sure at any cost, we have to make sure we have something for kids and young people first. Who's with me? Who's concerned about the next generation? Now, I'm not talking about concerned about the next generation where we sit at the table and throw rocks at them. I'm talking about all they do wrong, because they are weird. But guess what? It's what God's going to raise up. It's what God's going to raise up, and it's your and my responsibility to help reach the young people. Okay? Now, we have Pastor Destiny, who's youth ministry, youth pastor. We have Pastor Sydney, but it's not just their job. This is not about paying someone to do the work of the ministry. Are you with me? It's all of our jobs. We're going to look through some of this today. And everybody in here is in a different phase in your life. And like I said, some of the things I'm going to talk about, you may think, you know what, I can do that. I could help in that area. And you may come to me and say, right now is not a good time for me to help. There's some people that are helping right now. I'm going to have a talk with you and say, look, it's not a good thing that you keep doing what you're doing. Those are hard conversations, but I would only say it in this context. You're like a third baseman playing first base. We just need to get you in the right spot, because there's a spot for everybody in the kingdom of God. I promise you, everybody in this room has a spot on this team right here. Now, the vision of this church, if I was to say, what is the vision of your church? Could anybody answer that? Don't do it out loud. You may know the vision of this church. You may not. If you came through the membership class with me whenever, you should know the vision of the church, because I said it about 400 times. And one of the things that I'm going to make clear over the next year or two is that everybody in here, you know the vision of this church without having to look in some pamphlet, look in a booklet, whatever. It's real simple. The vision of this church is to make disciples of all nations. make disciples of all nations. Now, where do we get that from? The Word of God. Now, if making disciples of all nations is not important to you, I get it. I understand. But hopefully, as you continue to be discipled in this church, all nations becomes important to us. And the first group of people that would be important to you are the people in the chairs beside you, or not in your chair, or not in a chair, excuse me. And those are the people of this community. And so part of our vision is we're going to put some things together to make sure we're reaching the people of this community. Well, let me back up. Part of the thing we're going to do is we're going to put some things in place to reach people in this building. There are people in this building today, first service, second service, third service, they're struggling in some areas of their life right now. They are struggling in some areas of their life. Why? Because they're human. And as humans, we struggle. But if we're going to make disciples of all nations, where should we start? Right here. Right in this place. Without a vision, people perish. What is the vision for your life? And I ask people this a lot, and they're like, you know, go to work. Go to work, come home, watch the Dolphins play. And well, that's a miserable life right there, isn't it? But anyway. That's for another class. There is no real vision for their life. And it's like, you know, people, and you know, a lot of Americans, statistically, 70% of Americans hate their job. That was a Barna study. 70% of Americans hate their job. That's insane. I mean, I believe that. Thank goodness I'm not one of them. I have been. That's a lot of people that are miserable a lot of the day of the week. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they're miserable. And as a church, we have to be the vessel to just take people that are miserable 70% of their life and try to feed into them to get them 30% healthy. You understand what I'm saying? My vision first and foremost at this church is for anybody who walks through that door, any family that walks through that door, first and foremost is we can facilitate everybody in the family. We can facilitate from a newborn to a full-fledged golden year senior, all the way across the board. If we can't do that, we got problems. And the second vision I have for everybody that walks through that door is that spiritually you're healthy. Physically, you're healthy. Financially, you're healthy. That you are a healthy individual. Why? Because when this building is full of healthy people, we can carry out the vision for this church. Unhealthy people cannot make disciples of all nations. It's impossible. It's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean that along the way we won't struggle in some areas. And through your journey in life and everybody's journey in life, we'll have times where we're up and down and all around, but that doesn't mean we get up and fall out. And there's some areas of, not concern, just some areas I'm going to talk about this morning of some opportunity that you might have to lend a hand so we can make this place a better place of discipleship. Making disciples of all nations. Let me ask you to write this down because I want you to think about this week. What is the vision for your life? What is the vision for your life? And for some of us in this room, your vision right now might be, I need to be healthy again in this area. There's nothing wrong with having that as a vision. Some of you may be doing pretty well in a lot of areas of your life, and you need to answer that question for your life. What is, especially if you're a married couple, what is our vision right now? Most married people with children, their vision is this, raise their kids. And that's okay. I think that's important. But if it's only raise your kids, what happens to your marriage? That's why we see a lot of married couples when they finally get their kids up and gone. Guess what happens to the parents after that? They're like, who are you? Remember me? No, who are you? It happens. But we want this place to be healthy because we want you to be healthy. Why? Because God has given us the Great Commission of making disciples of all nations. What is the vision for your life? And here's the thing. Once you get the vision for your life, are you willing to make the proper changes necessary to fulfill the vision for your life? Are you willing? It's one thing to know the vision. It's another thing to do what you got to do to get there. Who's with me? And let me say this. It's one thing for us to know the vision of the church, but it's another thing for us to do the things necessary in order for us to get there. You with me? Because guess what? Guess what? The church has never, will never, was designed to operate just by having a pastor on staff to say, we hired this guy to do the ministry, let him do it all, we'll just come watch and listen. That's not the body of Christ. That's called dysfunction. Who's with me? Let me read something to you. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself, he's talking about the Lord, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Let me read that again. He himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. My job, I know what my job is, trust me. It's to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now, for some of us in this room today, the work of the ministry is your own personal life right now. Your ministry is yourself. Your ministry will always be yourself. If you're a husband, your ministry will be your wife. It will also be your family. But it will also be what? The body of Christ. This place right here. So why? So we can make disciples of all. The problem with sick Christians is we become self-consumed. We come in here broken and wounded, and here's all we need. I just need enough bread from the pastor to make myself well through next week. You hear what I'm saying? I've gone to church like that before, trust me. I was in an area of my life where I was like, you know, I can't do anything for anybody. I just need him to help me get fixed, or I'm going to go nuts on somebody. Anybody ever been like that? That's a dangerous place to be. That's why I back up and say, make a vision for your life. You know, for some of you in here, this may be hard. I mean, to sit down, especially if you're married, if your vision doesn't include your spouse, call me quick. You got a problem. You and your spouse should sit down and say, let's talk about the vision for our life right now. Yeah, I understand when we were younger and we had to raise a family and work and pay bills, you know, but now we're not in that season. What's our vision now? And men and women of God, let me assure you, the body of Christ and your church should be a part of the vision for your life. It really should. Why? Because this is the place that God established. This is the place God ordained for us to reach what? The nations. Life Point Church, it should be the place we come together, hands, feet, the body of Christ, to reach the nations. Who's with me? The nations. One thing I love about this church, this is one of the biggest reasons I came to this church, really, was the nations are represented in this church. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. But there's so many things that God wants to use you to do to make disciples of all nations. The ministry of the church was what? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Let me tell you, you ever been involved in a dysfunctional church? And a lot of churches work like this, believe it or not, where the pastor is king. I mean, he sits up here, and all the peasants are down here. It's kind of how it goes. And you can always tell those churches because they don't want anybody to do any type of ministry. They always get afraid. And it's a fear and control issue is what it is. Not anywhere near the way the Bible set it up. In other words, the pastor will say, well, listen, you're going to do something. It's going to be controlled by me. I'm going to let you know what you can and can't do. And there is oversight and organization, yes. But it's like, man, you know what? The Bible teaches me to train what? You for the work of the ministry. Why would I need to train you for the work of the ministry? Why? Because you work somewhere where I don't work. You live where I don't live. There are people that you're going to come in contact with that you need to be trained up to reach that we'll never see. And why? Because the body of Christ, as it expands and grows, guess what? We become a healthy organization that when anybody walks through that door sick, anybody, no matter what they're facing, they come into this place because we are ready to make disciples of all nations. We say, look, we got a spot for you. We have a spot for you. We're not afraid of you. We're not worried about you. We understand what the world is throwing back. People are hurt. People are lost. People are confused. We have a couple of areas here. After 6 months, I'm telling you some things today that I'm ready to see happen. Are you with me? Let me know you're with me before I say it. Tonight, we're not going to have an altar call. We're going to have a job seminar. Why? Because it's time. It's time for you. It's time for some of you. I don't know who, but it's time for some of you to step up and do what God has called you to do right here in this place, right here. Right here. I'm not trying to hold you back. Why? I know that God has given us the nations to reach through this church. And it starts in Sunrise, Florida. It starts in some areas that we really don't want to go to. Walmart. I did go to the swap shop yesterday. Y'all are going to learn about me one of these days and understand. I did go to the swap shop with my kids in Sunrise. I really do like that place. It's really a cool spot. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be if we rented a tent and we didn't sell anything, but we just gave away free stuff like the Word of God or free prayer or a bottle of water. You know, you can use a bottle of water out there on Saturday. And so, but anyway, I thought, how simple is that? The fields are ripe for the harvest, but the laborers are few. Well, I believe this. Are you a laborer? I believe God is raising up some laborers in this house today so we can begin to reach the people of this community. Now, I get it. This may not be your season to serve wholeheartedly. I get it. But don't let this season become your lifestyle. Because then you'll come in here, you'll sit here, you'll get fed, and you'll leave, and that's what your routine will be. When I'm saying this, what God has in store for this place is insane. And I'm ready to start seeing it. But it's going to start with you and I. Are you ready? Understanding what God has called us to do. We have some things available. We are ready for some of the saints to start the ministry in this house. You want to hear some spots we have wide open? You ready? Some things we're going to start first of the year. Let me tell you how it works. When I say this stuff, if that's you, you come see me. Not right now, after church. Come see me this week. Let's talk. I'm not saying you're not going to guarantee you're in that spot for now, but one of the things we're going to start doing here every Sunday, twice, 9 a.m. in two empty rooms, is having a Sunday school class that we need somebody to facilitate. Twice. If you're clapping, I'm assuming you're going to teach, so thank you very much. Okay? Two classes, 9 a.m. We need two teachers. The one class, I can tell you right now what it's going to be. It's going to be a marriage class. Why? Because I'm concerned about marriages. Because I'm married. I'll say that. I'll just leave it at that. There's always two people on the earth I said needed help. Married people and people with children. So that's most of us in this room. My marriage class. Now, the thing about this is this is the way it works right now at Life Point Church. We are limited on space. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet with a cap. When we reach the cap of the class, that's it. If you don't make this one, you'll make the next one. What we need right now is a teacher for a marriage class. It can be a couple. Okay? If you come to me, don't be surprised if I say, hey, I don't think you're ready for this right now. But there is a time for you. And those conversations get weird, I know. People get their feelings hurt. Don't get mad at me. Call Lewis. Listen, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Trust me. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I know what God's trying to do in this place. It's a shame. It's a hard thing to reach the nations when you're broken inside. And I don't think we're broken inside. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to make sure we're healthy. Why? Because when we're healthy and we start this journey, for everybody in this place has the opportunity to be healthy, God will give us the next assignment. Are you with me? God will give us the next assignment, and we'll continue to reach people in this community. And we'll begin to go other places. We'll begin to get out of this country, and we'll begin to make disciples of all nations. Who's with me? A marriage class. The other class, I have about three ideas for. I'm not going to share them. You may have one. If you would like to teach a class, we're going to have, it's probably going to be like 12 people in each class. The reason we're doing 9 a.m. is because we have child care all through that time. Let me back up. Not child care, children's ministries. Children's ministries. Why? Because we believe through the mouths of babes a child can speak. We believe God has, what did Jesus say? Unless you come as a, don't come. And if we're not careful, we do fall into this thing about church where we begin to segregate inside the walls of our church. Where a parent will walk into the spiritual growth of a family and will put our kid off in a room and walk away like it's not a big deal. That to me is a scary moment for the church. We have to be very careful. We're a family. Amen. And so whatever what's going through this now, just so you know, what's going to be going through the pulpit here is shared with the youth pastor, is shared with the kids pastor at the first of the year. So everybody's being taught the same thing. So if you get your kid out of kids church and you're riding home, maybe the same two topics are going to be spoken about in your car. That's pretty cool. Maybe they'll teach you something. Probably will. Because my wife's in there. But here's the thing. Are kids and youth important to us? We say it is. We're still lacking workers in there. If you've talked to Pastor Sydney about working, I would see her soon. Get the background check done. We need help. We expanded the facilities. We expanded our rooms to have a new nursery, preschool room, and kids' church room to facilitate that for three services, two people in each room at each service. How many people is that? 2, 4, 6 times 3 equals 18 people every Sunday we need. We have to have two people in each room just for safety and watching and all that stuff. It's a tall order just to fill that spot. If you're available, let me help you. Go serve. You can do it. Okay, two classes to start on a Sunday morning. If you're interested, please see me. That other class can be a Bible study. It can be whatever. You know, I'm open for whatever. I have a couple of things in my mind I'd like to see happen, but we can rotate it out. We'll rotate that thing out about every quarter. You can come at 9 a.m. You can still come to the service. Still have kids ministry for your kids if you have children, all that stuff. The next thing is we're going to start in January life groups. Life groups. I'm doing one. That's the only one I know that's happening. You ready? This is the name of it. Married with Children. How many of you ever saw the old TV show? Don't even raise your hand because you know you ain't supposed to be watching that garbage. Everybody here raise their hand. That show was pathetic. Married with Children. We're going to meet at Markham Park one Sunday night a month. Why? Because we need each other. We need babysitters. Some of y'all get that one later when you listen to the tape or whatever. But we need life groups. We need about 6 life group facilitators right now. Life group facilitators. Let me help you. If you think that's you, all you have to do is come talk to me. It's once a month. Once a month. Maybe it's a Bible study group. Maybe it doesn't even happen on a Sunday night. We're going to choose to do ours one Sunday night a month. One Sunday night a month. You may choose Friday night. You may be a facilitator and you say, you know what, I could do a women's Bible study on a Wednesday night. It don't even matter, you know, or a Thursday evening or whatever. Maybe you're kind of already doing something that you think would be a life group and it's cool. It's not we're trying to run it. I just want everybody to know we got something going on for them. Why are life groups important? Why are life groups important? I'll tell you why. Because we're like everybody else. We'll walk in here on Sunday. We'll sit and hear the message, and everything's cool. We sing and clap. But as soon as the service is over, everybody heads straight to the parking lot. And you'll be in church with someone you won't even know their name. And I'm the world's worst at names anyway. And I should know your name, right? If I say, hey, telling on myself. Hey, how's it going? But there's a lot of names to learn around here too. So I'm trying real hard. So give me some grace. But I get it, and I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. It's just human nature. You know, service is over, we leave, and we don't really connect with people. We're the body of Christ. If there should be anybody on the planet that you should be able to go to and call on the phone, it should be somebody sitting in this building right now and not be afraid to tell them the truth and say, look, man, I'm struggling right now. I mean, I know it takes time to build relationships, but that's what life groups do. And I know not everybody's going to be involved in it, but you should be. It gives you a place to connect with people of this church. So we're looking for 6 facilitators. My wife and I will be one. Married with children. And yes, we will have to put caps on our groups. It's just the way it goes, you know. Because everybody who's married with a kid can't be in our group, you know. But it'll be fun. It'll be good stuff for us. It'll be helpful for us, right? Why? Because we're making disciples, right? We're making disciples. We're raising up the church. We're raising up people in this church, equipping the saints to do the work of the... You have a ministry. You have a ministry. How many of you know that already? How many of you have kind of struggled figuring out where does that fit in the body of Christ? I mean, that happens to a lot of people. Especially if you're new to a church and you're trying to figure everything out, here's what I want to do. I want to make this process simple and easy for everybody. Why? Because I believe in you. And I believe God's put something in you. What for what? So we can reach the overall vision of the church to make disciples of all nations. Life groups. Now that's all 3 services I'm talking about. I'm talking about first service, second service, third service. All together. One church. Who's with me? Here we go. I have 2 more positions to fill. Then we're going to talk about our staff. Outreach coordinator. An outreach coordinator. Okay? An outreach coordinator that understands what outreach is. Listen, if you have a heart to do this and you want to do it, trust me, as a pastor, I'm going to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Don't worry. We will equip you to do what you're called to do. Outreach coordinator is one person that understands through the vision of the church what we want our outreach to look like. And it's basically to go to anywhere in Broward County right now, and we set up with the tools that God's given us, and we reach people. And there's so many different ways to reach people. Like I said, I mean, one of the outreaches of this church could be literally to set up at the swap shop on Saturday. You know how many people walk through that place? I mean, that is a huge outreach opportunity. An outreach opportunity is Wednesday night right here on our parking lot, just to have kids and families come through here with candy. We're going to share the gospel Wednesday night. Sharing the gospel is part of how we make disciples. Salvation is part of discipleship, but where do we go with them after that? See why we have to be connected together? So our outreach coordinator knows, oh, you have kids? Good. We have a kids program. We have a kids program, and that's where you take your kids, you know, all that stuff. The fields were white for the harvest, but the laborers are few. Listen to me. It's time for us to take the next step at Life Point Church. Who's with me still? I promise you, God has a spot for you. I'm excited. You should be excited. Part of your vision for your life should be this church. Okay? I hadn't even talked about tithing yet. We might get there today, I don't know. Well, let me say this. I have been involved in churches that had a ton of money, but they had no ministry. And that's just as dysfunctional. Now, you don't see a lot of churches like that, but they're out there. They have a ton of money and they do nothing. And let me tell you, there are people sitting in this church today, you're already doing stuff. But we want to make known to the church what's going on, because there may be someone sitting in here that has the like mind and like heart of what you're doing and bring alongside with what you're doing, and God reach what? More people, the nations, right? But it's going to start with us. I'm going to get there. Hold on. Third one. You ready? This is one that's huge on my plate right now, that I'm looking for someone to be the missions coordinator for Life Point Church. The missions coordinator for Life Point Church. Let me tell you what the missions coordinator does. For the past 3 weeks, we've had missionaries coming through the church. Are missionaries important? They should be if you go to Life Point Church. I'm going to tell you why. Because we are an Assembly of God church. Now, let me just spell it out as plain as possible. And we are bound by bylaws of the Assemblies of God to support the missionaries of the Assemblies of God. Why? Because when a missionary comes here to the United States and they itinerate and they go to all the churches, bylaw says we support them. So when they go on the mission field with their family of five to the Himalaya Mountains over in India, where my friend is right now, with three young children, all American, he doesn't have to work over there, but he knows that the church is supporting him. So he can do the work of the ministry that God's called him to do. Could you imagine taking your family of five to a foreign land and still have to work to provide and do the ministry? No way. But the Assemblies of God, our denomination, has devised a plan that if everybody would give each missionary, if every church would give each missionary $25, they would be fully supported on the mission field. $25 a month. Let me get it right. $25, that's nothing. But we need a missions coordinator to help us, and I'm putting it together now, trust me, but to coordinate all of the missions that goes on through this church. One, so you, the missions coordinator, can be in contact with the missionaries we support. Not only to be in contact so we can have an update of what's going on, but you can be an encouragement to them. Man, people on the mission field, it's a tough journey. I'm telling you what. When you take your family to another culture, another region, and you sell everything out here in the United States, and you say, I'm in, Lord, 100%, they need some encouragement. Right? Missions has to be at the forefront of what we do here. Because missions is the window that we do reach the nations. Amen? Short-term missions trips. How many of you have been on a short-term missions trip before? How many of you like to go on one? To Russia. June 6th to the 13th. Oh, it's coming. I mean, we nailed the dates down last week, and we're going to have our meeting in a couple of weeks for anybody interested in going on the missions trip to Russia. And a short-term missions trip is something this church is going to do at least once a year. Our missions coordinator needs to oversee the missions trip. Who are we going to work with? We're going to work with our Assembly of God missionaries. They need our support. Let me tell you what they need. Let me tell you, I'll never forget this. We went to, I think it was Quito, Ecuador one year. And we were doing a construction project there. Church was being built. They asked us to raise $10,000 for them to build the building. $10,000 for the building. Right? The missionary said, it's okay with us if you just want to send the money. You don't have to really send the workers. And I was like, well, you know, if our people raise the money, I'm pretty sure they're going to want to put their hands on the materials and help build it. The missionary said this to me. He said, for one thing, we get labor down here for so cheap. Don't worry about it. He said, the second thing he said was, he says, we do things down here so different, it's hard for Americans to come and understand our culture of how we do construction. You know, they would send construction guys down. They didn't do stuff like that. So there was this huge gap, learning gap, this curve. But I say this, if we give to a project, we want to be a part of the project. We want to go, how many of you would do that? Would give toward a project and say, you know, I'd go. I'd go on a short-term missions trip. And I know this church would do that, but I'm telling you the vision of where God wants us to be to what? What's the vision? To make disciples of all nations. Who's with me? Disciples of all nations. Third thing is this. Here's the last thing we're going to do. I talked about this three Wednesday nights ago, I think, maybe four. Matthew 9:17, this is where it all starts. This is where it comes home to you. How do I get there? How do I position myself to be a saint that is being equipped for the work of the ministry? And we have to put all the stuff we want to do aside for a moment, keep it on the table, look at it, our vision, and we have to let God fill us back up. We have to let God fill us fresh with His Spirit. If there's one thing LifePoint Church needs, it's a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we need the manifested gifts of the Spirit in this place. I'm telling you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be worried. Listen, I'm not even going to touch that. Because I'm telling you, when God begins to pour out His Spirit into this place, you're going to see things and hear things that are of the Spirit. Why do we need that? Why? Because if we have a vision to reach the nation, we need God to pour into us. People who are empty do not reach the nations. They don't even reach the people they work with. I want you to be filled fresh. I want you to be filled with overflowing. And as you begin to get filled with overflowing, listen to me, your vision will change. If you try to create your vision dry, it's nothing. I say, God, pour into us. Listen to what he says. Nor do the, how many remembers this message? I preached it about a month ago. I think it was on a Wednesday night. Nor do they put what? New wine into old wineskins. Or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. In other words, it's like this. If we don't change some things in here and we begin to reach people out there and this, in one Sunday morning, 200 people inundate this church, what's going to happen? We'll break. We'll break. We'll break. It will break us if we're not careful. We need God to fill us. We need to be a new wineskin to receive the new wine that God has for his church. You and I personally need to be a new wineskin. We cannot continue to do things the same old way, expecting the same result. Who's with me? Now, how many of you know change is hard? And we haven't changed that much. You've seen some change. You've seen a little bit of change, even with the staff we're bringing in and some things we're doing a little different. Yes, there's change. Most of it, I'm going to say for the most part, has all worked well. And we're continuing to work on some things. But here's the change that's going to have to really take place. Now, are you ready? It's when God pours his spirit into us once again. Forget all your problems. Forget all that stuff and say, God, fill this vessel once again. Why? Because I serve in a church now. I am a minister in a church. I'm talking about you. You are a minister at Life Point Church, and God has called us to reach the nations. God has called you to be a part of the team that reaches the nations. And you and I are not going to do it with old wine inside of us. And God said, I'll pour into you. I'll pour into you fresh. Some of you are ready to receive that fresh thing this morning where God said, I'll pour into your spirit today. I'll pour into your spirit today, and this thing will be new. And when you're new, let me tell you something. If we get someone in here who gets filled fresh with the Holy Spirit, and I know it's coming, and you come to me and say, Pastor, look, I got a class I want to teach for divorced women or single. I don't even know what it is. I mean, you could name the list a mile long, and I say, that's the class we need. And God's going to anoint you to reach hurting and lost people right here in this building. Not only in this building, but as someone else gets anointed with fresh wine from the Spirit, we're going to reach someone outside this building. And then we're going to take a group of people anointed with fresh wine to Siberia. I know Ilya will be listening to this, and he's so excited that the Americans are coming. Just don't be saying out loud in public you're talking to the Russians. Right now, it's not a good time to be saying that stuff. It's kind of weird. I'll say this while I have you here. The trip to Russia is nothing to be afraid of. But I will say this. They do have very strict political religious laws in that nation. And if you think that you're going to, well, we're not going to go into all that. Just trust me. We abide by the laws and we're fine. You understand what I'm saying? It's all good. Why? Because we want to reach the nations. The church we're working with, I will say this. This is real interesting. The church has 1,000 people in it. Every single one of them are first-generation Christians. Every one of them. Ilya's church, the only Christian church in the city of 600,000. Every person in the church is a first-generation Christian. There never was a church there before. His father had an underground church in this community and shipped his kids out to Canada because the KGB were after him. They were typing the Bible underground, and they had the numbers on the typewriters, all crazy stuff. He was typing the Bible and the cross and the switchblade, the old book. And they were seeing the addicts get set free. It's a crazy story. And just a lot of history there. But Ilya, he was shipped out to Canada with his sister because they didn't want the government to put him in prison. And when Ilya was old enough, he became a missionary and went back to his homeland, to his home city, to plant that church in honor of his father. And now the church is growing. There's still a lot of persecution there, a lot of laws, but it's just a crazy story. That's where I want to take a team, you know, when we go on our missions trip this year in June. It's all good. But here's the thing. Whether you go on a missions trip and all that, that's a small part of the vision of this. The very first vision I'm going to say today, without confusing you, is this. Is you need to be an open vessel for what God wants to pour into you. And if you were, two people said this to me after the first service, and I'm so glad they did, because I'm going to squash this mess right here. You may be thinking, well, maybe God can use me. I'm not sure. I always want to do it. Let me tell you, you are being lied to by the devil right now. Because yes, God wants to use you. God's always wanted to use you, and we want to use you. Now, you may not be quite ready to be used, but what is my job is to equip you to be used in the ministry. So it's okay. Maybe you're not quite there yet. You'll get there. I'll guarantee you this. There are many people serving God right now who aren't quite ready. But you know what? If you're full of new wine, if you're full of fresh pouring out of the Spirit of God, let me tell you something. God's going to use you and you're ready. I want you to stand to your feet this morning, church, because here's what I want to do this morning. I want to take this moment. I want to take this moment and I want you to have an opportunity to say, God, fill this vessel. Fill this vessel. God, give me a fresh vision for my life. Give me a fresh vision for ministry. Give me a fresh vision to even speak to the leadership of this church so I can be a part of reaching the nations. Maybe you can lead a Sunday school class here. Maybe you can lead a Bible study. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm going to say this. You can do something. There are people in this room right now. I would never say their name. There are people right now, they have this gift. You want to talk about a gift? They literally walk to the door of this church any given day of the week and knock on the door and say, can you use me here today? You hear what I just said? That's called the humble servant. The one that Jesus said, if you want to be like any of them, be like that one. The one who just shows up and says, here I am. Use me. Here I am, use me. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch of people in this room, you have that capacity. There's people in this room, you have the capacity to lead a Sunday school class. There's people in this room, you have the capacity to do a life group come January. There's people in this room, you have the capacity, listen to me, to be an intercessory in prayer. All of us have the ability to do something. Financially, at the very least, we should all be given 10%. Bottom line. God takes the 10% and he does his thing with it. The last vision I have for this church, you ready? Is for the staff of this church. Myself, Pastor Luna, Pastor Destiny, Pastor Sydney, Pastor Mitch, for all of our staff to be on full time at this church. You want to talk about going to another place? I mean, that just takes the organization to a whole nother level. It's okay, you with me? It'll take some time. We'll get there. I'm fully committed. But here's where I want us to be this morning. Is God, fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up this morning, Lord, so that I can be a part of the vision of Life Point Church that says, I want to reach the nations. I want to reach the nations. I want to be a member of that team that goes to Siberia. I want to be a member of the team that reaches the community down the street when we do our next outreach in November. I want to be a part of the group that comes here on Wednesday night to reach. Whatever. Somebody called my wife and said, this is what God put in their heart. And you know this comes from the Spirit of God. They said, I want to start a ministry in the church that goes to the hospital, listen to this, to reach terminally ill children. I said, my Lord, I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I would want to. I don't know that I would want to do that. But I know this, if we're going to reach the nations, it's everywhere. And I'm going to tell you what, Broward County is the nations, my friend. It's all right here. Everything under the sun. And I am ready. I am excited to see what God does through this group of people. Funny thing is, when Jesus instituted the church, when he established it, he had 12 people. He had 12. 12 people willing. Not even willing people, let me say. But he had 12 people. Which tells me this, it's not about how many. It's who's willing. Who's willing to be filled. And God will use us. Are you ready, Life Point Church? Are you ready? Are you really ready to see God make a new wine skin out of this vessel and pour fresh wine into this church? Pour fresh wine into your life? I'm committed. My family is committed to the health and the well-being of this church. I guarantee you. But we need God to pour out His Spirit. We need God to pour out His Spirit once again. Amen. This evening, or wherever we are, whatever it is, I'm going to just take some time and open this altar. And we're going to believe God to fill us fresh this morning. If you need to see me, man, you got a vision of something, come talk to me. And let me tell you the kind of leader I am. I'm just going to be honest with you. I may say, that's not what we're doing right now. We're not going that way right now. Save the thought, but we only got so much room around here. Here's what I want to see happen, where a place where lost, hurting people can be healed first and foremost. I'm not necessarily looking for a cross-stitching club, but that's one too, I guess. I'm with you. But I know this, there are people that need some help. And I believe God wants to use us. Who's with me? Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray. I pray in this place as we take this time and just open this house up, God, for this wineskin to be made new. God, make us new, that you can fill us fresh today with something new. Lord, I believe that even right now there's people that have had a vision in their heart for something about this church or something about their life. And God, I believe as you begin to pour out your Spirit, you're going to rekindle a fire. You're going to rekindle a fire in someone. You're going to bring something, God, that someone has even forgotten about. Why? Because this is the place you've brought us, to this lighthouse, Life Point Church. And God, we're going to help the saints be equipped for the work of the ministry. Everybody can do something. And God, we're going to look back. We're going to look back on this day when you've used us. And we're going to say, no, it wasn't some scheme. It wasn't something we did in our own head, but it was when God poured out His Spirit. It was when God poured out that new wine spirit into His people. And hearts began to change. And God, you made something new out of this place. You made something new in Life Point Church. God, continue to fill us, I pray. Continue, God, to speak to us through your word. And God, give us a vision for our life. Give us a vision to raise our children in a godly home. Give us a vision, God, to save our marriages. Give us a vision, God, to reach people that can't even make it to church on Sunday, that are shut in their house. God, we thank you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you this morning. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church. Looking, I'm excited to hear from you. You can come see me anytime. Call the church and talk to Miss Yvette and make an appointment to see me. If God put something on your heart about serving here, we would love to hear it, love to get it going. God bless you today. We'll see you back real soon.
I trust you. Jesus, bring new life. One, two, intro, two, three, four.